Oh, good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Thanks so much for coming out on the last day, first thing in the morning. I really appreciate it. The turnout is way beyond my expectations. You must be the folks that don't get invited to any of the vendor parties. That's why you're here. And greetings to all the people viewing online, especially the people back on the East Coast where I'm from, where it's a more civilized hour. I'm pretending that it's 11 o'clock, too. I would want to ask everybody to move up. I didn't expect such a big crowd, but I was really hoping for some good Q&A and discussion at the end. My presentation isn't that long. So if you'd like to move up, I mean, I know you're comfortable down there, and I know it's a long walk from in the back, but there are going to be prizes, and you must be present to win. So if you'd like to move up, I would appreciate it. I think it would be really good. You know, I've worked at a couple of Catholic colleges, and we always used to say that you could tell the people who sat in the back were the ones that went to Mass. So you don't want that reputation. You should move up, you know. I want to give kudos to EDUCAUSE for the magnificent room. When my presentation was accepted, I thought that I would be in one of these little cozy breakout rooms, you know, with a dozen people. And here we are, the massive screens. I feel like the pastor at a mega church, you know, like I got to have a backup band here and a choir. Later on, we'll sing. So anyway, I'm Bob Pasinski. I'm the director of IT and program manager with Campus CAI at Raritan Valley Community College. So full disclosure, I am a Campus EAI employee, but I am at Raritan Valley full time, and I'm going to be speaking from their perspective today. Okay. So just to get started, I'd like to get a perspective on all of you. I've been in this business a very long time, 36 years this month. And it's kind of a sobering thought that that's more than half the time that there's even been IT in higher education. And I've been coming to the EDUCAUSE conference since before it was EDUCAUSE. So for the first prize, what are the two organizations that came together to become EDUCAUSE? First answer wins. Very good. For you people viewing online, I'm sorry. No prizes. Just a little bit about our college. This is the description right out of our PR materials. But more importantly, just to give you an idea of the scale of the place, we have about 8,500 students. 130 full-time faculty, large number of adjuncts every semester, 180 full-time staff. We have a theater, we have a conference center, a remote location where classes are taught about 5 miles away. So it's a reasonably complex situation for IT support. Just a little bit about the history, how we got where we are, what we're facing. IT was outsourced to SCT, then SunGard, then Lucien for about 16 years. Went through good times, bad times. In a previous life, I worked for SCT at Raritan Valley. Over time, of course, things got a little complacent. When the contract was coming up for renewal last year, the college decided to look into alternatives. The environment that had come about over that period of time, we have Banner and Luminous administrative systems. Our LMS is Web Study. It's hosted. There's an extensive wired and wireless network, as you would imagine. 84 plus physical and virtual servers, primarily Windows, some Linux, Exchange on campus, SharePoint, 33 or so PC labs. Every other room is a smart classroom that isn't a PC lab, something like 1,600 PCs on campus to support, and many more nodes than that on the network. And on a typical day, we have about 700 devices on the wireless network. So that's the environment that we're trying to support. What were the challenges? What was happening over the past few years? Technology was falling behind. The people that were there on campus under contract had been there quite a long time. They were good at what they did, but innovation had really stopped. And the notion that there was a large bench of people behind them wasn't proving out. So there were things to be examined as far as alternatives to that outsourcing contract. That at the same time, of course, costs were increasing. The network was expanding, labs were expanding. Those costs were going up just because of volume. Some costs, of course, were going up because of increases in maintenance contracts and such things. And the budgets were decreasing, primarily because of cuts from the state. What had evolved or devolved over time was that there were very few historical records or documentation. Processes weren't being documented. It was all in people's heads. Help desk, we had a help desk system, but it wasn't being really utilized. We weren't looking at history on the tickets. The data wasn't being mined for patterns or to learn from. No risk assessments were being done. It was taken for granted that, you know, we'd get through difficult periods. There was no analysis of errors, no root cause analysis being done, let alone history on that being maintained. We didn't have standard operating procedures, although people knew the operating procedures for things like backups and change management. We didn't really have formality there. And inventory lists were outdated. So that was the challenge, and this was in 2012. So the college decided to look at options. They did issue a RFP. They did look into extending the contract with Ellucian or looking for an alternative for full outsourcing. They looked at the option of taking services in-house, selectively outsourced to local providers. All of these options were out there. Or there could be something else. And something else is what we ended up with. And it's what I would like to call right sourcing. And I thought I made that term up last year at another presentation because I had never heard it before. And then yesterday, I was in a presentation here unrelated to services, and somebody used the term right sourcing. And I was just amazed. And I should have trademarked that word last year. But anyway, that's what I'd like to call it, and that's what I'm going to describe to you. Here's a scope of services that's being provided under this right sourcing model. There are planning and assessment administrative support for the vice president of technology at the college. That's really my part of my role to do that. We're doing network management, sort of a hybrid way, you'll see on the next few slides, server management, application, and so forth. You can read the rest. And the help desk sort of ties everything together. We'll talk about how the help desk functions as more than a help desk in a little bit. Here's how we went about changing from the full outsource to the hybrid model or right sourcing model that we have now. The Ellucian contract was ending at the end of September. So early on, really in July and full-blown in August and September, we went through a transition phase. There was a lot of discovery, analysis of processes, overlap between the new staff that was going to be both on-site and off-site, and the Eleusinian staff that was on the way out. This is what our vice president has called the do no harm, entered the do no harm phase. We just wanted to maintain what was going on, have a smooth transition between the two contracts, smooth transition into the beginning of the semester. That took us into the stabilization phase, which really went through the end of fall semester in 2012, where new processes were put in place. We evaluated what was going well, what wasn't going well, and really stabilized the systems network and most of all the processes that we were going to use. And then around the end of the year, we've entered and have continued what we call the continuous service improvement phase. And when I get to some of the details on what has been accomplished and what we're planning, you'll see what goes into that. So to take a look at what this right sourcing really looks like in our organization, this is part of the IT organization. There'll be another slide to show you another section, and then there are some things that I'll mention that aren't really on the org chart slides. That's our vice president, Chuck Cholvik, there at the top. He's actually a lot better looking than that. He's right down here in the front. We'll make him say something later on. The IT director and program manager, of course, is myself. Now, on campus, from campus CAI under contract, we have a technical lead for networks and a technical lead for systems. And they are augmented by a large staff of people that is off-site, okay? Primarily in India, some in Cleveland. That's just the nature of our service provider. Okay, we'll talk a little bit more about how that works. On the other side, the service desk manager is also a contract employee, but he supervises four people that are college employees, that are the boots on the ground, the technicians that really do the house calls and troubleshooting on campus. Those people were formerly Eleusinian employees, they're now college employees. It's a nice feature of the hybrid organization that we've put together, that these familiar faces were retained in all these changes. So the people that faculty and staff saw coming out to their offices were the same that they were familiar with. But now they were being managed by a person with significant experience in help desk management and were brought into the methodologies that were developed for this hybrid way of working. But they're augmented by an off-site help desk service with a pool of tier one agents so that when you call the help desk or email the help desk or initiate a chat session with the help desk, you're talking to tier one agents that are off campus. They're using a ticketing system to generate records on the calls and the trouble tickets and distribute them to the service desk manager and or to the agents. In addition to this group, that help desk also funnels tickets to our audiovisual support staff, telecommunications staff, and the support staff for the administrative systems. And that takes us to this view. In addition to myself as IT director, there is a director of information systems who is a college employee supporting Banner and Luminous and associated systems. She has two college employees, a database analyst and a programmer, that report to her. And they are augmented by a group that is a affiliate of Campus CAI, and they have a services manager there who's a very experienced Oracle and Banner developer. He has a team of programmers and DBAs, and that team is there to augment those two people that are on campus. And to help coordinate all this, the college created the position of infrastructure manager. And that infrastructure manager is primarily a systems and network person, but really bridges all these areas and really works with me directly, with our vice president, the other directors, to plan projects and carry out projects. I don't expect you to be able to read the details on here. This is just for you to see sort of how these off-site teams work. Over on the left-hand side, that's our people at the college, our people on site. But what the right-hand side is illustrating is that in each of these functional areas of enterprise application systems, Microsoft's applications, and so forth, we have principal consultants that are dedicated to our services at the college, and then there are pools of people represented by those boxes with the dotted lines around them. And the way that these pools of people and the dedicated people work is key to how this hybrid organization is really effective. Here's what makes it work. As I said before, there was a lot of discovery done in the beginning. There was a lot of detailed inventory. Documentation of systems and processes was done. And that has been an ongoing process. So initially, there was a certain amount of information captured, for example, about the variety of servers that we have. We've now gone beyond that into more detail, so we have more usable documentation that you don't have to look in one place for information about what's on a server, in another place for network information related to it, another place for contracts. It's being built together into a database. So that even that idea of inventory and documentation is an ongoing, continuously improved process for us now. We've put a lot of effort into very formal communications. There are a lot of people involved here. There's college staff. There's contract staff that are at the college. There's people that are off-site in two different locations. Every morning we have a conference call. There's kind of a shape-up call. Doesn't take long, 10, 15 minutes. We review what's going on that day. Every afternoon there's a conference call at 4 o'clock where we do status reporting amongst the people. It's primarily for the contract people, but anybody can join those calls if they want. Once a week we have a major project status call. If there are sort of closed-end projects, so for example, right now we're in the midst of an Exchange upgrade and a migration to Office 365. If we have an ongoing project like that, there will be another weekly conference call related to that. In addition to the voice conferencing, we use GoToMeeting, we use JoinMe. There's a lot of formal communication that goes on. And when those weekly status conference calls really amount to meetings are held, there is someone that is responsible for documenting that, and those documents are shared and held in two different repositories. On the campus CAI site, we have a community site, a portal, that is shared with our staff. On the college side, we use SharePoint, but the documents are held in both locations. So that communications plan is really a key part of making this all work. The formal knowledge transfer process really relates to what I was saying about the pools of people in the different functional areas. That we have real written documents and checklists for the systems that we have, for the network, for the functions in the network, so that when a different person in the pool is brought into a project or needs to work on something for the college, there is a transfer of knowledge from people that have been working on it to the new person. And that's not necessarily a new employee. It's just someone else from the pool that's being brought to bear on a project. So, for example, not long ago we were implementing Microsoft Forefront Identity Manager, just sort of initial installation. Started with one person, ended up with three people working on that project. And this knowledge transfer process, having everything documented and having the experienced person spend time with person from the pool that was coming into the project really made it possible for those additional people to be effective and contribute to the project very quickly and easily. As I mentioned before, the help desk really serves as more than just the help desk ticketing system. We also use the help desk for managing our change requests. So when a request for change form is done, it's posted into the ticketing system. There's a way to attach documents to the tickets. So we actually use the help desk system because it timestamps things. It has an archive. We can search it. So it's a good way for us to maintain the documentation on change management. We use the help desk system for that. And again, with the variety of people that participate, it gives people access to those documents. So it's another way that we use the help desk. And there's complete transparency in these systems of documentation. The college staff, campus EAI staff, even in some cases, third parties, have had access to these systems. And we have the ability to give that access. When I look at the tickets and documentation in the help desk system, I see all the details. Our vice president can see all the details. My counterparts that are college employees can see all the details. It's all transparent. We share it all. It's the same thing with the documents and inventory that go into SharePoint, that go into our community site. They're available to everybody. It's all transparent. And I think that's a real key thing here, that everybody sees what we're doing and the documentation that we're maintaining. Of course, on a technical level, to make some of this work, there is active remote monitoring. A monitoring system was installed for all the servers, for the network, and even that we are continuously improving. Just lately, we've implemented additional monitoring for the internet service through our router and packet shaper. There's additional monitoring that we're doing there. We're looking at more granular monitoring all the way down to port level, to better identify sources of problem traffic on the network. So even that we're continuously improving. And for things like our public web servers, there are multiple sites through a service that Campus EAI contracts with that continuously test our service. So if there's more than about a minute of outage on any of our web servers, we're going to get alerts. When it comes back, you get a confirmation that it's back. And again, there's a process that we follow when we get those alerts, how they're identified, their severity is identified, and there are different processes that we follow based on the severity of those alerts. So that monitoring is a key thing. And finally, what really makes all this work, really to summarize what I've been saying about the inventories and knowledge transfer, it's all process. It's a constant attempt to codify what we're doing. Because of this hybrid organization, it can't just be in people's heads. We really work to codify what we're doing. And just some examples of the change management that I mentioned, root cause analysis after any outages or alerts. We have a form that's used. We do a root cause analysis, and that's maintained for future reference. Just an example of some things that went on at the startup. I can't believe I've tired out the interpreter. I've never been interpreted before. I mean, I wish I was out there so that I could watch. I know a little bit. But these are just some of the processes that went on in the beginning, just to show you the formality of what was done. There was an identification of single point of failures. The documentation, that's just a link. You can't really go there, but it's just to show that we use that community site. At the process standardization I talked about, the P1, that's our most severe outages or what we call P1s. There's a process for that. Salesforce is the actual ticketing system that we use. The help desk system is the Salesforce system. And root cause analysis templates, change management templates. There's an approval list for change management that's maintained, that sort of thing. That's just to give you a rundown of just some of the things that were done as part of that startup for all of this. Getting to the wrap-up. the lessons that we've learned if you're going to attempt something like this. You really need to do a realistic needs analysis. What are you really facing? It's not the old days where you could do outsourcing of all of IT. Here's another question for everybody. How many people have been outsource employees, a contract employee? It's good to stretch in the morning. Just get your hand up there. Okay, two, that's it. And how many people have contracted for outsource services? This is two hands. Get them up there. See, that's what it's like. It's like a stick up, right? I mean, outsourcing can be like a stick up. So you really need to be realistic about the analysis. What can you do well? What can a service provider do well? How can you put the two together? You know, what we do is a little bit different than places I've been where we outsourced network monitoring and management, for example. That was sort of out of the box. You know, they did it their way. They were going to do it the same way for you as what they were doing for, the manufacturing company down the street. We're looking for something a little more creative. So really looking at your needs, really looking at what is your staff going to be optimal at doing? What services are you going to contract for? And how are you going to optimize both of those things, put them together so that you're getting the most bang for your buck out of this? You need to be flexible. You need to think a little differently. When the college looked at those options, they looked at fully outsourcing. They had done it for 16 years. But there are other things available now. And your vendor needs to be flexible too. I can say from our corporate side of this, this isn't something that we had defined sitting on the shelf that we were going to whip out a proposal and do. This was something that was crafted, putting together abilities and services that we had and working together with the college to put together this hybrid or right sourcing model for all of this. We've also learned that you have to regularly reassess the way that you're doing this. Since the help desk sort of ties everything together for us, that's one of the areas that we try to reassess. We've had conference calls with the offsite management of the help desk, with some of the local technicians, with our help desk manager. We've looked at general processes, how to do that better, how to better feed information to the help desk for the knowledge base that's maintained there. We've actually drilled down into individual tickets to look at how they were handled. It's a real iterative process. And that's just one example that we're regularly reassessing how this is working and how the details on the processes fit in with what we're trying to achieve. And finally, and I have to give credit again to our vice president for this line, we've learned that you can't do more with less. You hear that one, right? We all hear that one. Do more with less. You can't do more with less. I've tried. But you can do better with less. And that's what we're trying to do. We have fewer help desk technicians than what the college had previously. But because of the way that we've implemented the local and remote services, the way that we've changed the processes, and how those people really react to problems that come in, they're being just as effective, if not more effective, than the larger staff was before. So we actually are moving towards, if not getting there in all areas, but we're certainly moving towards doing better with less. If you want to contact me, that's my email. Right now, if anybody has jumped the gun and looked online, the presentation that's online doesn't quite match. Because over the course of the week, I had ideas based on other presentations. I ought to throw some things into my presentation to make it a little better. So this presentation will be uploaded sometime over the weekend. I'm sure our vice president would be glad to answer questions. That's his email. If you want to know more about Campus CAI, the website campuscai.org is where you should go. So I want to thank you all. Please fill out the evaluation, but keep in mind. And for our final prize, if you can complete the quote, and we are close to Disneyland, tell me which character that was and which film it was from, you will win the final prize. Yeah, but you have to complete the quote. Very good. Yes, if you can't say something, I don't say nothing at all. Again, I want to apologize to the online people that you couldn't do that. That guy in the pajamas there, you know, pay attention. We can see you, you know, power the internet. We have plenty of time for questions, discussion. Anybody want to chime in? Like I said, I wanted to keep it short so that we could have questions, discussion. If you do have a question, please come to the microphone so that the online people can hear you as well.
Good morning. Brenda Spicullo, UW-Madison. I was wondering if you could clarify what role HR had in supporting your transition, because you were mentioning you had people that were on contract that then actually became college employees, if I understood that. So just what role did HR have in helping you make this transition?
That's a really good question, and I don't know because I wasn't there for that. I have been through that at other institutions, and I can tell you one thing about that. I would ask our vice president. I'm sure he'd come up and answer that one because it's such a good question. But I will tell you from experience with two other contracts. In one of our contracts at another institution, there was a clear clause that said you cannot do that without written authorization, and they would not give me written authorization to hire one of the people that we very much wanted to hire. And we went all the way up the chain through that company and got nowhere. But in another situation that I was involved with, the contract explicitly said that if the contract is terminated, the college has every right to hire the people. So I think, you know, if you're going to get into a business like this and anticipate that, you really want to look at having a clause that you want in the contract. But I don't know if Chuck would like to say more about that.
Yeah, I'd be happy to add the HR element. As we went through this change, Ellucian had some restrictions on their employees, primarily if they wanted to remain engaged with Ellucian or be eligible for any benefits that they would get if they separated from Ellucian. They couldn't talk to us about a potential job until they had made that decision of whether they were staying with Ellucian or Ellucian made the decision as to whether they were going to offer them continued employment. So the help desk technicians were told fairly early that they were not going to be retained by Ellucian, so they were able to talk with us. HR assisted in doing evaluations of reasonable positions in terms of classifications. We are a union shop, so they were able to work with the union to determine where these technical positions would reside and get the appropriate salary information, which they do for all of the positions that we have available. The other positions we were interested in were two skilled positions and on the Banner Oracle side, and the folks couldn't talk to us. They were kept pretty much waiting for quite some time before Ellucian let them know if they would be engaged. When they were able to talk with us, it turned out that we couldn't afford them. even if we wanted them. So HR helped. They certainly assisted more after the fact. They didn't participate in negotiations with the vendor. But after we decided who we were hiring, they positioned the jobs correctly and helped with identifying salaries.
Thanks a lot, Chuck. Anybody else? Any other questions? No questions online? I mean, none of my shills have sent in the questions I gave to them? No?
I have an observation to add, Bob, since we have some time. I want to modify Bob's term, right sourcing. At the moment, I'm thinking of it as almost right sourcing. I say that because what really transpired, and we do have people who've always worked for the college directly who support technology, particularly in the instructional technology side, and that there really wasn't much change there. But overall, with the growth of technology, the expansion of the college, we were not right sourced under the Eleusinian contract, the combination hybrid. And in this approach was to try and get more and more efficiency out of the resources being provided. I still don't think they're the right level of resource. The offer that was put forward by Campus EAI was really eye-catching. It certainly caught the eye of the president and the CFO. And my concern was that I'm not sure that the resource level is where it needs to be to do more than keep our nose above water. So I was able to enhance it a little bit before we finished. I think it needs to be enhanced a little bit more in terms of personnel. We're a year, as Bob had indicated, into this. I believe there are some things we do much better than we had in the past. There are some things we're working on to improve. So, you know, we're getting there. I'm just not sure if the resources are adequate to do what that closing line said, which was to be able to do better with less. I think we're along that path, but maybe there's some more adjustments in personnel that still need to be done.
How's that for honesty? I mean, and we're friends. Yes, please.
Joe Moivan, Director of IT Services. My question is, you have fixed costs, variable costs, and to what extent, I got to figure out how to articulate my question is to what extent is the value of outsourcing compared to bringing in the resources internally? So if you're paying a contract cost over a certain period of time, it's going to amount to a certain value, as opposed to bringing somebody in to work on campus and internally. Does that make sense? Is that a question?
Okay. Yeah, well, right now, we're all fixed cost. And again, you know, full disclosure, there has been a little controversy between Campus EAI and the college about the scope of services and additional fees for service. And it has been my position and Chuck's position that the services that were contentious were in the base contract under our interpretation, and there have been no additional fees. But that's certainly an area that if you're going to get into something like this, you want to try to have as much specificity as you can as to what is included in the contract. To give you you know, an example, Microsoft Systems services are included in the contract. We have several Microsoft systems, sophisticated systems that are in operation, SharePoint, Exchange, Active Directory, lots of Windows servers. Initiating the project to implement Forefront Identity Manager, we knew that was a complex project. Anybody will tell you, if you go out to a Microsoft partner, there's going to be a big price tag depending on which functions you want implemented. By our understanding, that should be implemented under our base contract. There was a discussion about that, and that was the agreement that was made. But should there have been more specificity in the contract about something like that? Most probably. So I hope that answers the question.
I'd add one other factor. Having, as Bob indicated, a managed service contract for many of the technology positions for over 15 years, one of the big advantages, of course, is that vacancies are easily dealt with by the vendor. Maybe not easily, but they are dealt with by the vendor, as opposed to when it's your position, it goes vacant, you're recruiting, you're coming up with some stopgap if that person doesn't have a backup. Some of the positions which are hourly, when we bring them into the college, means overtime. When they are vendor-supplied positions, that was with SCT, SunGuard, Ellucian, and now with Campus EAI, that's not an issue for the college to deal with. It's fixed price. But the biggest piece, I think, and it wasn't working for us as it should have with Ellucian, it's one of the reasons for the change, and it seems to me to be working better now, is the backup resources for the people who you have working on your account. There are other resources, and they bring them to bear if there's a problem. So that you might be looking at spending consulting money that you can avoid.
Any other questions? Thanks so much again. Have a great rest of the day.